Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Nyack School District Board of Education meeting, Tuesday, January the 10th, 2017. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Who moved?
James.
James?
Trustee Marshall.
I'm nudging you with my elbow.
Okay. It was motioned by...
Trustee Marshall,
and seconded by Michael Mark. That's right. President's report. I just want to welcome everybody back. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope everyone had good holidays, and look forward to a great 2017 for you personally and for the school district. Dr. Montesano.
Yes, thank you. Also echo those sentiments, wishing all of our families and staff a wonderful and happy, healthy 2017. Just a couple quick items. One is just for the board's benefit. At the meeting on the 24th, we will have our Director of Bilingual Education, Audrey Cabell, here, and she'll give you guys an update with regard to programming, enrollment figures, and things of that sort. I wasn't quite sure. I know the board wants to discuss the homework assignments that were issued regarding the board goals for 2017. Just an update. You want that on the 24th or the 7th February?
Why don't we do it through the agenda planning and see what
sure.
we have teed up for the 24th, just in case things prop.
And just a couple pieces of information. First of all, many of you remember Hunter Androsko, who
yes.
Was with us last year. I got a very nice email from him from University of Binghamton this afternoon, out of the blue, and he asked that I would offer you his greetings. Sounds like he's getting plenty of snow. This is all of you. I had a little exchange with him, and later this evening, if the board does get into a discussion about the presentation that Nicole and Lorraine Longy made at the last meeting regarding class ranking, I can give you some views that Hunter shared with me from his perspective now that he's a college student. You recall the board passed a resolution to accept $7,500 from the foundation, which is a defunct foundation for Nyack Schools. This was a former educational foundation prior to the Inspire Nyack. And they did still have this $7,500 in abeyance. And Russell Grant, a former graduate of the high school, who was the executor of it, has turned that funding over to us. I have met with the technology committee. I think I sent to the board in a last update what our plans are going to be, which really do meet the mission of that foundation, which is about technology, particularly economically disadvantaged students, and trying to ensure that it touches as many students. And what we are planning to do, our proposal is to purchase sets of Chromebooks, probably about five for each of our five schools, and they would actually be on loan for students to be able to, almost like a library book, be able to sign out. Part of the idea, and later this year you'll hear a proposal from the technology committee. They've been really hard at work developing plans in terms of a new technology plan for the district. Which may include a one-to-one initiative, you know, moving towards equipping all of our students with some form of digital device. But as you know, some of our students don't have access. So the idea now in the short term is to have a loaning setup. We are going to be making arrangements at Nyack Center, at our school libraries, as well as the Nyack Library and Valley College Library, that they can be hotspots for kids that if they are assignments to do, they have a device to be working from to do that. So we think that would be an appropriate use. Also, I want to mention that we are floating around. I've sent it out to all of our collective and bargaining groups, to our PTA council. I will shortly to our student advisor group at the high school. and the administrator collective bargaining group, the 2017-18 school calendar proposal. What I'm planning to do is put on the workshop just to get any board comments that evening and try to get it on the board for action at the February 7th. We only have one meeting in February, so I want to get it out into our community, you know, as early as we can so that, you know, anybody making plans can work off of that. I also wanted to mention that today at our Rotary luncheon meeting, we were joined by our Rotary Interact club from the high school. All the officers joined. The president gave a great overview of the various projects that they're involved in, such as they adopted a family over through United Way over the holidays and provided $250 worth of gifts and things of that sort. Most recently, down at the Grace, I think it's Episcopal Church, cooking breakfast as part of their breakfast program. And I think they're now working on a fundraising effort. I believe it was leukemia was their target, and they're doing like pennies for leukemia or something like to that effect. I do want to thank Lisa, got this out today, that we are now looking to establish a school start time committee. This has been posted on the flyer on Peach Jar. It's on our website, so anyone that knows anyone that has an interest in looking at this issue, I actually do hope to be able to get a couple of students from the high school. Obviously, it's going to impact you as much as it will our staff and parents. So we'll probably have an organization meeting sometime towards the end of January, and that concludes my report.
Thanks, Dr. Montesano. Dr. Montesano, I have a question.
Sure.
You said you're going to use the $7,500 for Chromebooks, but you're only getting five. They're not
per
expensive.
Library.
But couldn't you get more and have like?
Well, whatever. I used five. I didn't do the math.
Okay.
Obviously, you did.
I did. At Office Depot, they cost $199.99. So, yeah.
Well, there's administrative fees that are.
And I just wondered whether. Okay, fine. Thank you for clearing that up. For the podcast, of course. Yes.
Because he was talking about five per school library.
Five per library.
No, he said he's going to get five.
Per library.
Per library.
Oh. 25. Okay, that's 25. Hang on just a minute. All right, then.
Okay, all right.
My bad. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Sonny. Our student representative report.
Okay, so I don't have too much to report on, but the students are all getting ready for midterms, which are coming up the next 2 weeks, so still studying cram time, which is kind of surreal that this year is halfway over already, senior year is halfway over already. But we are looking forward to doing some more fundraisers. So the senior class is hoping to put up a coat drive where actually the large bus would come in and we would be giving them coats. And I'm not quite sure if we're actually getting money from the foundation or it's just simply out of like charity, but I'm very excited to be doing that. And also, our prom committee is beginning to form and getting that set up as well. So it's all such a weird experience, but exciting as well. So yeah, so that is my report.
Thanks very much, Indigo. Okay, our board reports. So let's start with Trustee Rock.
Thank you, Trustee Hughes. I should say President Hughes. Demerit, please. Thank you. small report. Happy New Year to everyone. One of the things I did notice on the way in for tonight's board meeting is all the beautiful artwork. I just want to acknowledge the students.
Liberty School.
Liberty Elementary. Should have known with all that fine artwork, it was Liberty where my kids went. But a big shout out to them. This looks fantastic. But coming up in March, Inspire Nyack is having their 10th annual casino night on March 25th. Just want to get the times. 7:30 to 11:30 p.m. I've been going, I think I've been to almost all of them. So please come out and join me. It's a great fundraiser for STEM programs. I think we are very proud of the work we've done in the district. And I'm looking forward to the 10th anniversary as we are going to try and get some of the founders of Inspire NAC to attend that evening. So a good tribute to the folks who started this wonderful organization, and looking forward to another 10 years of supporting the NAC School District. And that is my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Rock. Trustee Bender.
President Hughes. Thank you,
sir. Mm-hmm.
President Hughes. Happy New Year to everybody. And like Indigo said, I can't believe half the year is gone already. It's it's amazing to think in just a few months I'll be at fifth grade graduation, and my little one will be starting in a year or two, so everyone's growing up quick. Despite being characterized as a Grinch in my house quite frequently, this is my favorite time of year, only because I'm fortunate enough to work for a company that stops operations between December 22nd and January 1st. So I'm basically on break with the kids, and it just affords me the opportunity to spend a lot of time with them. We're busy in the summer, so while they're off in camp and having fun, I'm usually working pretty hard. So the December time frame is a great chance for me to spend with the family, so I'm appreciative of that. The kids weren't too happy to go back to school, but at the end of 12 days, I think I was ready to push them out the door. So before the break, I did get a chance to attend the VCE first and second grade concert. Spotted Michael Mork in the crowd. It was a good way to kick off the holiday break, so it kind of gets everybody into the spirit. So that was fun. Looking forward to tomorrow night's third, fourth, and fifth grade concert for VCE over at the high school. So that should be another good time to watch all the kids on stage singing. And just looking forward to the rest of the school year. It should be as fun as the first half. So with that, I'll turn it over to President Hughes. That is my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Bender. Trustee Maraschino.
All right. Well, happy New Year, everyone. First, I wanted to just start with, I had like a little bit of general teacher and faculty praise, because I just feel like I'm in this little bit of a unique situation this year, having a kindergartner and a senior. And it's just this particular time, there's some huge milestones. My kindergartner is starting to read, completely due to our teachers. I've done nothing at home, and it's just amazing when you, especially when you have the older kids, to just see what your kindergarten teachers do. I got this from kindergarten. No, and then the seniors, they're all getting into colleges. They're beginning to get their acceptance letters and put in their applications. And it's just, it's like these two mile markers at just such different ends of the spectrums, and you realize you have all so much due to your teachers and your faculty and your school. So I just had to share that because it was just hitting me. Another little bit of kudos to Lorraine Longing, our guidance department. I love that emails are going out. It might have been last year as well, I'm not sure. But just letting parents know that schedule planning is coming up. In the middle school and high school, I just think that's so valuable. It's just nice to know, because some kids tell you, some kids don't tell you. So it's great to just be able to be prepared to give them input and advice if they want it. So that I thought was great. I also wanted to mention a great event at Grace Church this past weekend. I don't know if anybody was there in this room. It was the first resolution run to raise money for all the hunger programs in NIAC, including the Grace Church Breakfast Program that Dr. Montesano mentioned. I mean, one of my great friends, Annie Weishacker, was one of the co-organizers. I think Ken Sharp also was there, Kim Cross. People to people. I know I'm probably missing some key organizers, but it was really nice. There was well over 100 people, 4 mile run up to the end of Broadway and back. I want to say Annie say it raised $11,000, right? It was really substantial funding, a lot of good sponsors, and I think it's just the start of something that will become an annual event. So that was great, and just, big congratulations to all the organizers. Couple little ideas I just wanted to float out there. One, I happened to see some advertising on Facebook for Mauchline Country Day School, and what was interesting that they did is they list the amount of merit money in scholarships that their students are getting for college, and it just looks so impressive. I mean, we've got well more than Mauchline Country Day School. I think they want to say over $300,000 in scholarships, which
You know, it's just such an interesting number to look at, because I'm sure in NIAC schools, the amount of merit scholarship that we got, I can't even imagine whether it's what kids receive as offers or what they actually end up accepting. Just what might be something interesting to talk about moving forward. It just is something I happen to notice, so I just wanted to put that out there. And then another idea that I think a couple of us had seen last year, this is a high school thing as well, I thought I'd put it out at this board meeting, was that idea that we saw for seniors possibly coming back to the elementary schools.
We're looking at that. Lorraine and I actually...
Sorry, Nicole, could you need the mic and identify who you are, please?
Yeah. I thought you might tell me you were looking at it, but...
Yeah, Lorraine and I are actually looking at that. We're looking at the clap out. So she and I, we're looking to kind of plan that as the year progresses a little bit. And we'll be leaning on Indigo with everything else. Yeah, but I think it'll be a great idea. So she and I are talking about that, and we are looking at it.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. I figured you might be. I knew it. I just didn't want to forget about it, because I knew a few of us had seen it last year, and it just looked like such an amazing thing.
Is that where they went and they walked the halls in the cap and gowns?
Yeah, through their old elementary schools, and it seemed like great, you know, just... Mm. Morale builder for the teachers to see how well their students have done, and the younger kids looking into the older kids, so there are just so many good things. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is I saw online Martin Luther King Day. I think there's a unity celebration in East Ramapo. I meant to sort of print up a flyer and bring it. It just looked really interesting. I think it starts at 3 p.m. It looked like there were performers, dance and music and singers and some big speakers. It was sort of the school district in collaboration with some community organizations. It just looked really interesting. I know I always want to do something great on Martin Luther King Day, and then I just never do. So I just thought I'd share that. I'm sure if anybody can't find the information, just let me know. I think it was on Facebook that I saw it.
Where's it going
to
be?
It's at East Ramapo High School. Okay. Or I think I just Googled it online and found something about it. So I just thought I'd share that. Bless you. That is my that's my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Maraschino. That wasn't that hard. Sorry. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you, President Hughes. Happy and prosperous New Year's to everyone. I missed the last board meeting, and I think I missed the meeting before. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank everyone for the many cards and gifts and words of comfort during the recent loss I had in my family of my father. And it was truly heartfelt, and it was very humbling. So thank you to everyone for that. During that process, a friend of mine sent a quote, and it shows you how what you need to focus on. One day you will wake up, and there won't be any more time to do the things you've always wanted. Do it now. And so that really stuck with me. Now on to the business of the board report. My report is brief. I just wanted to touch on two areas that came up or that I had wanted to touch on, and I've spoken with Dr. Montesano regarding it. Back in April, the district did a comprehensive, back April 19th of last year, the district did a review by Dr. Judith Wilson on our guidance department. And I wanted to ask if, you know, the board is in agreement to get an update on that report on the 16 recommendations that she put together. The first one we've already done, establish a position for a full-time director of guidance. So we did that one. Define a K-12 curriculum, create an annual communication plan. Some of these have already been accomplished. Mention Naviance, disseminate a Naviance lesson of the month to parents. Establish departmental goals, collect data relevant to measure these goals, avoid the trap of new goals every September, identify and follow aspirational peer schools, and that kind of dovetailed on the second note, which is an update on the proposed college aspirations tours. So next meeting or sometime we could get an update on that. And then in September, I had mentioned the anti-bullying awareness forum and shared some innovative programs. Someone came up with a quote, and I'm just going to share it. Bullying doesn't take a break, and it doesn't. So just an update on if we're going to repeat that. I had asked our Office of Public Affairs Representative Lisa if we were going to do the Tom Grimes program. Because when he came last year, it was coordinated with Okada and Dr. Smith. It was the intent of it was around internet, but he was so amazing in weaving that in with bullying. I thought it was really fascinating, so wanted to see if we could get a repeat on that. And that was really it. I wanted to also just make a brief mention on January 19th, the event with our own Donzella Mulligan. She's going to be there. And India Perez Urbano, Nyack School alum, founder of Rockland Connects. It saved the date. It's on January 19th. Many parents believe that allowing their teenage children, and we've had this issue with some of the friends of our own children, and some of the parents believe that allowing their teenage children and their friends to drink at home with adult supervision leads to a safe and healthier attitude about drinking habits. I've actually had to deal with that. Nothing can be further from the truth. Facts show that underage drinking at home is an ineffective reduction strategy that can lead to serious and negative unintended consequences for parents and children. So the featured speakers, Dr. Perinda Parig, I know her personally, and Dr., I'm going to butcher this name, Ayodel, I can't even begin to pronounce the last name. But that's something if you want to, you know, for anyone who's interested in this topic, it's January 19th, Nyack Seaport, and it starts at 6:30 p.m. And I believe that is my report.
Thanks very much,
Trustee. Trustee Irvin.
Hi, thank you. Happy New Year, everyone. Glad to be back in the middle of all of this again. I feel like it's been forever since we've been off. But I just have a very short report. I just want to remind all the board members the legislative breakfast is coming up on the 21st. I guess everybody's going.
That's the since I've been here, it's the first time we'll have the full board able to. You know, a lot of times you have conflicting dates and things, but it's going to be a very impressive showing for NIAC to have that.
Unfortunately, I just got the email from the Rockland County School Board Association that we're missing a few of our legislators. Carlucci will not be there. Jaffe will not be there. I guess there was a conflict. I guess there's a Million Woman March going on in Washington the day after the inauguration, which is actually why Ellen Jaffe is not going to be there. But I still think it's important that we all go and show our commitment to getting our legislators to focus on issues concerning school funding. I know they want to talk about this tax credit, charter school tax credit issue, and I'm sure, you know, I reported in after one of the superintendent and board member joint dinners that I attended back in the fall. There's definitely anticipated changes coming with respect to the government's view of education. The appointments are being confirmed, I guess his cabinet's being confirmed in the next couple of weeks, but the person that he chose for the Department of Education is a real charter school advocate. And so it's anticipated by people in leadership in public schools that it's going to be a big focus coming up. So I encourage people in the community, you can attend this breakfast as well. I mean, we invite the PTAs, we invite members of the staff of the school districts, as well as board members. So if you know anybody else that you think would be interested, you know, let me know. We can get them a ticket. They're going to charge this year because we've ended up running in the red on this thing because the last couple of years we had to cancel it because of snow, but we still bought all the food. The school board association asked that, you know, we pay us $10 admission fee now, but I'm sure we can work it out if people want to attend. So if you know anybody who's interested, they can contact me. We'll get them on the list to attend. And like I said, let's keep the feet to the fire on the advocacy for public education. I also did want to follow up on a couple of Jen's comments. You know, it made the news again this morning. I was watching where I don't remember the district they were highlighting, but they were talking about how these kids were leaving on Friday, and that was the last meal they were eating until Monday when they come back. Obviously, this is a school district with a lot of the free and reduced lunches. But I know for a fact that my church was putting together at one point backpacks to send home with some of these kids. So I just say it to point it out. If we know that this is happening in our schools, I have some people I know would donate. You know, maybe it's something that we could do through the Family Resource Center. I know that they're probably in touch with those families, but...
Well, you know, one thing I was just going to interject, and I sent an email out to the board, I think it was today. If you're not aware, the county has decided to eliminate the 21C funding,
yeah.
Which, you know, is crippling to us. We have one of the most active FRCs in the county. And we do have those students in our midst that leave our schools and may not have a nutritious meal available. And it is, in fact, our FRCs that really do guardian angels work to ensure that those families are provided for. And we'll certainly look to try to continue the FRCs within our budget. But, you know, the board knows you have a lot of budget challenges that each year you have to contend with. And this is really... not really helpful to us, and it's really, to me, not a large expenditure, you know, that they're talking about. But if you're not aware that, you know, that, in my understanding, it's not completely been decided, but, you know, perhaps even a letter from the board, you know, just advocating for the necessity, just for that point you just raised, it's vital. You know, kids, if their bellies are empty, it's very difficult to learn, so...
Well, it's just, to me, it's, if any of you have ever had the opportunity to come to my house and happen to look in my kitchen pantry, I think I have 30 pounds of pasta in my pantry, and people have commented, like, what is this? Like, it's enough to last a nuclear winter. So the concept of actually my kids not having anything to eat from Friday to Monday is startling, really. So I just say it to point it out again. I mean, you know, obviously FRC, if you need me, you can have some of those pounds of pasta.
Yeah, I would say there is a coalition that's, I believe, been formed in NIAC of,
yeah.
It's the
okay.
churches and NIAC Center, like it was the group that organized this resolution run that's been working as a group to address all these hunger issues. It's,
right.
I'm sure they're looking, I'm sure they're happy for other members from other churches and community organizations.
Yeah, I think that's something that we really need to keep focused on, and I'd like to just, as I said, highlight that. And I also would like to couple of, again, Jen's comments about the teacher involvement and the assistance. I mean, okay, I admit I've never took a Regents test in my life because I went to high school in Pennsylvania, and I'm probably more nervous about those Regents exams than my daughter who has to take them. But I guess they've already started doing preps because she's been staying after school in science to try it with Mrs. Weaver and so forth to try to get prepped for those tests.
Good terms right now, similar to Regents.
Okay, well, I'm not going to be worried about them yet, then, I guess. Right?
Don't worry.
I keep trying to divest myself and say, Lou, you took Regents, because my husband went to school in New York. You know what that is. But, yeah, well, my household is already anxious about Regents exams. So, anyway, thank you very much.
What you do is you carb up for them. You should be fine.
We're good.
Okay, well, anyway, thank you, because I know that that's time that the teachers are spending after school with the students, and I just want to say, coupling with what Jen had said, it's obvious our teachers care very dearly about our kids, and it's appreciated. And that's my report.
Thank you very much.
That's just a quick before Michael's on.
Trustee Motion.
You mentioned putting together a letter. I think that was something we would all want to do. So a process for and address it to Ed Day, address it to...
I would suggest all the county legislators. I know there has been support for it. It was his veto, my understanding.
Right, it was his veto. Yeah.
So I could probably work with Lisa and put something together, run it through Karen, and if the board feels
that'd
it's appropriate, we'll send something out.
That'd be great.
One little thing about the legislative breakfast. Maureen Danzig of Rockland County School Board Association was kind of looking to encourage participation, like you've been suggesting.
Yes.
And she asked me to just post it on Facebook. It's Rockland County School Board Association event. It's a flyer. I just thought I'd
put it out there. So you're gonna post the flyer on
the flyer. That was something that they were interested in doing to spread the word about the breakfast.
Gotcha. Okay. Last but not least, by any means, Trustee Mark.
President Hughes.
Oh, I just have one more. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Poor Mark.
Well,
Happy New Year, everybody. These were wonderful reports, and mine will be much, much shorter than I thought, because the point I was going to bring up was the 21C issue. Mm. I sit on the board of 21C. Oh, that's right. This was an issue that happened last year as well, yeah, where they tried to not fund these 30 or so nonprofits. It's extraordinarily short-sighted. If you look at the numbers on all of these programs, these are these small, very focused programs that have enormous numbers of volunteers working for them. They operate at very low cost, and there's huge return for the dollars that are spent on them. And it's short-sighted to make it look like it's a nice budgetary move for the county to take the money away from them. The county legislator tried to do it last year, was unsuccessful. This year he did it again, and by vetoing the budget, they tried to get an override. They needed 12 votes to override. They got 11. Wow. So the legislature has now submitted another budget with the funding, but they don't know if he's going to veto that. Jim forwarded the email. I mean, Harriet Cornell has introduced some legislation to try to use some of the surplus, some of the unspent money from the 2016 budget to fund these programs for at least 6 months while they try to work something out. I think the idea of posting some kind of a letter would be very useful. So it's a short-sighted thing to cut. Get a lot of services from these things. And we all know what our Family Resource Center does. Does a lot.
What was it last year that ultimately led to keeping the funding?
There was a grassroots movement, and at a couple of the meetings of the county legislature, the room was full when it usually is empty. And there were a lot of people that got up and talked about it, and they got enough people to restore the funding. Yeah. So to have to try to do that year in and year out is it's crippling to the organizations, and so whatever we can do to be vocal about it is going to be useful for all of us and for all of our kids. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Mark. Dr. Montesano, are there any responses to citizens' prior proposals, questions, and concerns?
There are none.
Are there any citizens' proposals, questions, or concerns this evening? Anybody sign it? Kevin? Sorry, could you?
There wasn't anybody on it.
No, thank you.
I just wanted to respond to.
You can talk. What do you want to respond to?
I just want to say, and according to.
No, use the mic.
I already.
Identify yourself. Sorry, Lisa.
Lisa Ritalik. I did already submit the request for Tom Grimes to Okada, and we're looking into that. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. Okay, any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the workshop items? Dr. Montesano.
Yes, moving to workshop. The first thing I just want to get some feedback from the board. The board had a presentation, which, as you saw that evening, there was a lot of good work done by the committee that was chaired by Nicole Saiva and Lorraine Longing. As many of you know, this was kind of initiated by, from the board itself that had requested that we take a look at our existing practices. You heard a report that included some of the trends from around our immediate area in various high schools, which was showed a lot of different approaches. I was really impressed with the committee that they were able to extract some information from the colleges, which are probably one of the most critical parts of the equation in terms of how they're viewing your kids. And obviously, we want to put our students in the best possible light, moving forward. So with that in mind, you know, the committee did not come back with a definitive recommendation, just simply that wanted the board to be cognizant of any change, really should be thoughtful with regard to its implementation. So, students that are, quote, in the pipeline now are perhaps less impacted. The sense I had was that, you currently have a very traditional approach to class ranking, which gives numerical, very specific numerics. And you know, I sense a little bit of a trend of some interest in possibly going to the deciles, which is you know, what some districts have shifted to. And in part, it really, I think I would ask the board to really consider if a change is to be made, what's the outcome you're best, you know, you're best hoping to accomplish. And again, it appeared to me just from the board's comments that much of it is driven by the recognition that, you know, some of our kids are, and, you know, Indigo as an example, are in fact feeling the stress of the need to load up on AP type of courses or high level courses. That does add to stress, adds to the workload. We understand the concerns. We're even looking at high school start times as a way to try to get kids, you know, some additional sleep. At the same time, you know, just as the one that stuck in my mind was the information coming out of Duke University was that, you know, regardless of ranking or lack of ranking, most importantly is what's the level of rigor, you know, are the students in fact challenging themselves, which goes back to the whole issue of AP, you know, courses. So I'm really just asking for some feedback from the board to see if the board has an interest. You may not be ready to make a decision, but certainly if the board is so inclined to make some change, you know, we would need to get a hold of that change so that we can start, you know, whatever changes need to be made. You know, I was really impressed to hear from the committee that the guidance department is going to be looking at, you know, stress management kinds of opportunities for parents. They are looking to make some changes to the district, the high school profile, so that our colleges have a better understanding of what our high school is all about. And I'll just conclude with, I thought you might be interested in Hunter's comments. He stated, well, first of all, he said that, wow, sounds like the board is a little bit more relaxing this year. He was involved in the breathalyzer. but he went on to say that shifting to deciles might be a good idea as well, considering how the size of each grade varies from high school to high school, he means. So ranking 100th out of a class of 200 would be completely different than ranking 100th out of 300 students. Using deciles would avoid this. So instead of competing to get in the top 50, students might be more focused on getting in the top 50% and perhaps be more focused on taking classes they are interested in rather than classes they might simply boost their GPA. And then adds, if there's anything that he can ever do to help out, please do not hesitate to ask. So, and with that, I'll just, you know, invite the board to offer any comments or give us some guidance as to what the board may be inclined to do.
I can start again.
Do we need more time? Do we need more time? Does anybody feel they need more time to read through this?
No. Okay.
So having, go ahead.
Okay. Trustee Marshall.
Having not had a chance to listen to the podcast to get a feel for the recommendation from the committee, what is the recommendation? What is the board looking to ask?
I think the honestly, my, and again, Nicole is here, but my sense in terms of the committee, their strongest recommendation from through my eyes is the recognition that we need to try to be more proactive at addressing stress, and you know, the idea of having you know, workshops and you know, maybe even assembly programs, you know, to assist our students and our parents, giving them a knowledge base, you know, to me was probably the strongest recommendation that came from that. In addition to, you know, perhaps making the, updating the profile to make it more, and I think the sense I have from, you know, again, just from the committee, and I don't want to speak for the committee, and by the way, if the board needs more information, you know, asks, you know, questions they want the committee to research, we can certainly do that as well, but that, you know, I think they recognize that, you know, the presence of ranking or the absence of ranking, your students, particularly that cluster of students that are really looking at competitive colleges, recognize they do need to load up on you know, the challenging courses. And this is a high school, you know, fortunately that the Board of Education really does provide a full range of high level courses, and it's only increasing, you know, as we go forward. So it's, you know, if the goal is to eliminate the stress, you can maybe minimize it, but I think that stress will, you know, likely still. So my point is, I think that in my mind was part of why the committee struggled with giving, and I know Indigo was on the committee as well, a definitive recommendation: the board should do this, and this is really going to solve, you know, that kind of concern.
It reminds me a little bit of that film you showed us about the Scarsdale School, Losing Ourselves. Is that the name of it?
Yeah,
Losing Ourselves?
Yeah. And it's similar, The Race to Nowhere is another one that's kind of like that.
And it's timely. I happened to bring, and I thought I would, it wasn't going to be applied tonight, but the November cover of Time talked about depression among adolescents, and a lot of it is driven by school pressure. And it featured a number of teens, but it also featured a number of statistics. So it mentioned here that one student was getting counseling for anxiety, and which became crushing as the college application process went, that she feared getting an answer wrong when a teacher called on her and felt she was not qualified to be in a particular class. I don't have pressure from my parents. I'm the one putting pressure on myself. So I think if it's about lessening anxiety, there are some statistics about it. 3 million adolescents 12 to 17 in the U.S. have at least one major depressive episode. 6.3 million teens 13 to 18 have had an anxiety disorder. Boys are more likely to be anxious and depressed. So if that's the focus, then I think it's really appropriate to look at doing something around the pressure. Indigo, I'm sure you've talked to many of your peers who are going through. I remember when we were putting our kids through the college process, it was a lot of pressure in our home around.
And again, I just want to remind the board that, you know, this topic was initiated by the board itself. And I think the committee basically, when they started looking at it, you know, made some assumptions that that was one of the issues that, you know, that we're trying to address. And also to try to encourage kids to take courses of interest rather than the course that's going to bolster their GPA.
Yeah.
You know.
My view is that if this doesn't seriously disadvantage a kid, I don't see the downside. So
to
students, to doing this, right?
Doing what?
Exactly.
Sorry, removing rank, right? Doing away with rank, right? Because I'm looking at the stats here, you know, I think we put the onus on the colleges to figure out another way. I remember reading, I think it was the article you had, that talked about the colleges just needing to find another way to select students, because it's not 100% of them that say we don't use the rank. So if we get it, we're going to use it, right? And that's got to bring some stress to students, right? There's some kid who's going to worry about rank. So if we can eliminate that altogether, just eliminate it. So my take is, if there's no disadvantage to the kid not to have a rank applying to colleges, why wouldn't we do it?
Well, in part, the only thing I would caution the board is that their sample size of colleges was not, you know, while they did have a nice mix of 60-something of some, you know, competitive colleges, state colleges, et cetera. There certainly work schools in that midst that reported that, yeah, you may in fact be placing your students at a disadvantage, because the bottom line is, if you have a school that is in fact ranking kids, and whether it's deciles or, you know, specific ranking, and another that does not, then you really have to fall back to, because the GPA is almost worthless in a sense that every, you know, many high schools provide different levels of weight to higher level courses, so they get very skewed. You know, some don't have as much weight, so a 4.6 is going to look very different to colleges than a 4.0 from a different high school. So the ranking, in my mind at least, it gives it some context, you know, in terms of, because in the absence of that, you need to have a very strong school profile, as well as, you know, ensuring the kids understand the way in which we are reporting themselves to colleges.
What would the decile look like then?
Well, the decile is just simply that. It's, you know, rather than that you're number 9 in the class, you're in the top 5%. You know, if you're 27, you're in the top 10%. It's a little bit more flexible, you know, perhaps, you know, from that perspective. But again, I keep looking at these two because they actually study this. So I would, you know, if they have some comments, I would encourage them to speak. But I don't know that anything, whether the absence of taking the ranking out completely, as Karen was speaking about, is really going to necessarily take the level of stress and anxiety. If that is the focus of this, and it really just happened. I don't know if it's your class, the senior class, that really was a little bit obsessive, you know, like even from sophomore year over ranking. Typically, we hadn't
they
seen
were.
That
yeah, I know.
in previous classes. You know, usually kids don't pay much attention to it until they start really thinking about college. So whether this is a new trend we may see at Nyack High School, you know, again, I can share with you, again, from my previous experiences in Paramus where we made some shifts to it, you know, we really felt there was a need to do some change to give, to take some of what we felt was taking some of the pressures off the kids. And we just went to a decile. And the kids actually had a little bit of an option to that. There'll always be ranking. So even if we say we're not ranking, if there are scholarships that, you know, the college needs, we, the guidance department, will always have the ability to show a ranking, just that it would just not be shared amongst the students for this, you know, this competition I need to get to, you know, for myself, so.
Yeah, and I was just
going to
say,
on.
Trustee Irvin,
my
sorry.
Turn. Interestingly enough, I was at a personal Christmas party over Christmas and was talking to a person who works up at Nyack College, which, you know, is a school, but it's not one of these highly competitive Duke type universities. And I asked him what he does, and he says he's a counselor. He works at Nyack, and I said, well, what are you counseling them? And he said he works with the students there who are, you know, have anxiety about school and their performance at college. And I was, apparently they have 6 or 9 something counselors on staff at Nyack that are doing this. And I just said to him, these are the students that are, you know, the high performing students that need to get all A's. And he said, well, it's actually both ends of the spectrum. It's students that feel that they can't get the A's, as well as the very high performing students that are struggling. So, and then my takeaway from the presentation that you guys gave to the board was that the overwhelming issue is this concern of students and their stress level. But then I also had another conversation with somebody else that said it's not even so much the parents or the schools, but it's the students themselves that are putting the stress on them. You know, this instance of social media where, oh, so-and-so got 100 on their driving test. Who cares about your driving test? You know, I'm glad I passed my driving test, but I didn't need 100 on my driving test. You know, so a lot of this kind of stuff seems to be a societal shift where this competition is not even coming necessarily from the class rankings, but from the students themselves being hyper competitive. So my thought is, I think we need to address this issue about the stress first, and see whether or not there's programs that we can do to sort of implement that before we go through this change of rankings and the implementation. And maybe this is part and parcel of it, but it seems to me that, you know, I did a lot of soul searching about this because, you know, would I love for my kid to go to an Ivy League school? Sure. But you know what? Christina's going to go to college somewhere, and she's going to have a very fulfilling and rewarding life. She doesn't have to go to Harvard to get there. And so I had to do some of my own thinking about, am I putting pressure on my own kids this way? Or, you know, and I said to her, you know, what do you want to do with the electives? You know, we've got great electives in this district. Do you want to do art? Do you want to do graphic arts? Do you want to learn that? And, you know, because she got the letter about ninth grade electives. And I think it starts even on a sort of grassroots level where people have to start talking the talk, especially to our younger kids. You know what? Take the stuff that you really love to do and encourage them. You know, maybe that's more the focus. Okay. That's my thought.
Jen, Rashida.
So I was going to say, I had actually initially brought this up when I was at a Latke party last year, and then it was kind of great. I got to go back to that same Latke party this year and see a lot of the girls.
I'm sorry, what
party? A Latke party. Latkes, you know, for Hanukkah.
Oh, right.
So it was just, one, it was very neat to be able to see the same girls who brought up and say, you know, your advice that you were just chatting about out, the process worked so wonderfully to be able to, you know, bring it up, improve it, talk about it. But, you know, it was interesting. There, it had initially struck a chord for me, not only because of the stress, which I was so thrilled to see as, like, a major component of the presentation. They were also feeling like the standard rating did not help them when they were getting into very good colleges.
What didn't help them?
The standard rankings, these were girls that were going to Emory, GW, Cornell, very good schools. And their feedback at that time had been that the way that we were doing our ranking, this traditional, did not help them get into those schools. You know, even though they had done very well and taken very competitive classes, you know, maybe they were number 23 in the class. This was still great, but that number wasn't actually helping them get into the competitive colleges. So that was a piece that had, and listen, this was kids, you know, young adults sharing this information.
How did they know that?
It was the sense that they had gotten from the process, from what they felt like was talking to other kids when they ended up at these schools and were talking to other, you know, talking about how their high schools in different parts of the country had did ranking again, right? It wasn't very scientific or necessarily 100% correct. It just seemed at a time, you know, I know Dr. Montesano was asking sort of what are we expecting to accomplish with this conversation, and I would say for me it was certainly the whole stress aspect that's so key, and then just kind of looking at what is going to help our kids the best in the process of getting into colleges. And I thought the presentation last board meeting was great, and really it seemed like the committee was very sort of maybe in favor of just exploring some of these alternatives like the decile ranking, which sounds really interesting to me.
David?
I guess the rhetorical question, or maybe it's an actual question, is what is our obligation as a district to ensure that all of our students have the ability to access every single university or college? Are we disadvantaging even one person by eliminating the rank and not enabling a student to get into a college that actually requires it? What is the obligation to balance that, the access to an institution that requires it, versus what I'm hearing is a significant issue, the stress and whatnot?
Colleges will not require, because there are schools throughout this country, that high schools that rank kids the way we do. There's those that do deciles. There's those that do zero ranking and just provide a GPA. So there's no, quote, requirement. You know, the gauge, and what the committee tried to do was to try to collect some data from the college admissions offices to see through their eyes how would they prefer to see, you know, the transcripts come in, with ranking, with decile, without it. And, you know, there seemed to be a little bit of a mix, but at the same time, what seems to be clear is that your high school profile is important, which really gives you some context to put that GPA in place. I go back to that one example of Duke. You know, I really think colleges will look primarily at the type of courses that a student takes. Right. You know, so if you're looking at the Cornells or those types of schools, you know, you're going to have to show them that you're capable of reaching high-level courses. But there's no specific requirement where a student will be rejected because of absence of ranking.
I mean, look, I'd consider myself a traditionalist, and for those of you that heard me profess my love for script, might remember, you know, I think rankings can be a good thing. I think there's nothing wrong with competition, it's just managing the stress. Having said that, if in fact every school wouldn't necessarily require a ranking, they just use it, then I don't see any reason why we couldn't consider, or we shouldn't consider, a shift in either direct rank to decile or elimination completely. I just think it's balancing whether or not we're disadvantaging somebody by not having it.
Trustee Bunk?
It seems to me when you're talking about scholarships that require to know a ranking, we're going to know the rankings anyway. If what this is about is a reduction of stress for students, and the perception is that making it a decile thing is going to be less stressful for students, it's not going to make any difference college-wise, because if a student says, I need to send them to college, my ranking, you'll give it to them. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think for us to decide what we want to do, we've gotten a range of recommendations from the committee so far. There isn't really something that we can act on concretely yet anyway, is there? Because we've just gotten this thing that says these are the different aspects that we've looked into. If you're asking what should we do, then I would defer to our student representative and say, what do you want us to do?
What pressure?
I'm not asking you to answer me right now.
I mean, I can if I.
If you want to.
Please, yeah.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from this committee, and it was a really great experience. And I think what, if I had to make a suggestion, I think I would go decile, and I wouldn't eliminate it completely. Mostly because when talking to people of all different kinds of ranking, some people find it very motivating. And personally, I don't, and that's why I was kind of blinded by that. But some people really do need that to kind of push them forward and say, okay, let's go, let's like work harder, let's strive for more. That being said, I think that the stress and anxiety aspect is a really important component. And I actually have research of our school, and I did an anxiety intervention among the ninth graders. So I have data about the anxiety levels in our school. And it does go, it kind of matches with the national average around 15%, which is huge. I think that, you know, taking that initiative and creating some sort of social emotional program to while bringing it to decile and to making it like ranking less of a comparative number and something that's less just harsh, decile makes it easier, and at the same time also attending to those social emotional issues. There's a famous anxiety expert, and he says that if colleges looked at your emotional intelligence or mental health just as much as they looked at your grades and transcripts, the people getting into colleges would be very different. Mm-hmm. Because the kids that are going into those Ivy Leagues are dealing with very severe and high mental health issues. And I can definitely speak to that just from my peers and things that I've experienced. So that, to me, is taking that social-emotional program initiative, I think, is probably the first most important step. I think you said that, looking at that first. There's something you said. I can't remember, but that's my opinion.
I see principals even doing head nods. Is that sort of the overall approach for the committee? Is that so? What I thought I heard was decile ranking would probably be the recommendation. Is that where we're at? I mean, would we like a formal recommendation?
Well, Michael asked a straightforward question, and I think you have a recommendation on the floor, you know, from a person who sat on the committee who's also a student at the high school.
Yeah.
But Nicole, you're about to speak.
The one time I was staying quiet, I was called upon, you see? the one time in history, I've been probably in this room for the past 21 years, I can't count how many times, but this is probably the first time ever where I've been quiet and asked to speak. Indigo's insight, I think, is very valuable, because when Indigo first came to the committee, you don't mind if I share, do you? She was really against ranking. She was totally against it in any aspect, and wanted to throw it out totally. And then listening to the people on the committee, and it was a nice cross-section of people, we really couldn't come to a recommendation. And I'll tell you why. We met three times, I think. We probably could have met 33 times or 333 times. That committee was not ready to come to any type of a decision and agree on any one way.
How many people were on the committee? I'm just curious.
I think in total maybe seven, in the middle, seven or eight, and then it grew. And in Edgar Lambert, I would say under 10.
Okay.
And at different meetings, a different number. And we looked at the information that we received from the different colleges, and I think I shared that Excel spread, that Google Doc with you last time. And it's very mixed, and some colleges rely very heavily on an exact rate, and some say they consider it, and they look at the students holistically. I could just tell you, based on some of the early actions, and I think Indigo will probably agree, that we've seen from some of our colleges, students that we thought were shoo-ins for certain colleges, and I shared one with you, was deferred, while the students that had a lower ranking were accepted. Well, so there's no consistency with that either, and the colleges are saying they are looking at students holistically. There's stress, and there's and James, you know this, and Karen, you know this too, and also Terrence, you know it as well, and Michael, you may remember from way back when, but and you're not there yet. And Jen as well. There's stress with the whole college application process. There really is. There's stress with the whole entire process. Leanne, you're speaking about Regents, and your child's still at the middle school, so it begins there. When you start talking about these Regents exams, and if kids do consistently well in their classes, they'll do consistently well on their Regents exams. That's kind of how it goes. So there's stress with the whole entire process, and that's just the way it is. And I think as a department and our guidance department, and Lorraine sent a beautiful email out to our staff, as they start to meet with students and start discussing course requests, you know, make sure kids take courses where they'll do well in. We have an honors policy where we can counsel kids not to take classes, and we can counsel kids to take different type of classes, and we support that policy. We stand behind it as agents of the school district. But then again, you want to make sure that kids make decisions that are good for them. If a child wants to go to a real competitive school, to an Ivy League school, Dr. Montesano said it beautifully, they need to take rigorous courses. Colleges that offer a very, very rigorous program really are going to consider kids that are coming out of a very, very rigorous program. That's the way it goes. You hope that there's enough flexibility with the schedule where students can take some of the elective courses that are very engaging and very interesting, but they are going to take courses that are rigorous if they want to go to Yale, Cornell, Brown, Duke, some of the higher performing colleges. So that committee was not ready to make a decision. We were not close, and I don't think we would have ever been close. But I did make us do a lot of fact-finding, and we discovered a lot of things about ourselves, about our profile, which definitely has to be updated, and what colleges are looking for are profiles that say out of 230 students, 92 of them received a grade point average of 90 or higher. Just give a number to the amount of students that scored a certain grade point average. So that's kind of, I don't know if I answered your question. I'm nodding my head at what everybody's saying, because you're all making excellent points, and they're valid points. And it's just something we have to look at. We need to look at holistically. Changing to a decile may ease some of the tension for students that are maybe number 5 or number 6 that really want to be number 1 or number 2. That may ease some of the tension. I don't know if throwing out rank is the answer. I think the colleges probably will look for some type of ranking. You have people in your community that are totally against throwing out rank. You have people in your community. We had 34, I think, responses to 34. Responses to the Let's Talk that we put up there, and I have to tell you, they're split. I mean, you have people that are very, very strong against ranking, and people who are very, very strong for ranking. You know, the conversation comes up, then you better throw out your MVP. You better throw out all different types of stuff. The committee does really want a valedictorian and salutatorian. We agreed on that. Different schools in the county do all different types of things. Some, I think, Suffren has, and I'm just talking off the top of my head, so forgive me if I'm wrong. Suffren, they let the top 10% of their students submit essays and the best speeches, and the committee decides which speeches are the best, and then those are the ones that are selected to read at graduation. So all different things can be done that way, but it's a conversation that, you know, we could all have, but somewhere, somehow, we have to come to an agreement. The committee that we had, I don't think will give one definite recommendation. Indigo has done a lot of talking to her peers and really feels that the top 10%, you know, not the top 10%, a percentile would be the best for our students.
Decile.
Okay. Silly question.
Just before we get around again.
Thank you, President Hughes. It's a struggle because I now have a sophomore in college, and I'm watching the ebbs and flow of the stress doesn't stop. That's an Indigo's pick point. So in 8th to 10th grade, the stress was, I got to pick a major. I picked a major. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to plan my life to be. And the crushing blow of, I don't want to do that. Then now what am I going to do? I'm good at a few things, and I can't pick what I want to do. And so I see our kids struggling. I actually see this even at the workplace. So these are now college graduates. We have a new grad program in my place of employment. And it's funny because it takes me back to high school. I'm watching now these young adults with that same stress of this generation of kids that are coming out.
if it's not planned out and it's not laid out for them, stress. It's just instant. Doesn't matter what we say or do, or say, hey, you have the freedom to make a decision. Now that with the freedom to make a decision, that's stress. So attacking stress, I'd be really interested in what kind of programs and things we could come up with and help alleviate. There's just so many, if our young folks in high school knew of the quantity of universities that are out there and whether you can go away, big or small, online, offline, foreign country, in country, the options are endless. But it almost causes stress because the options are endless. And how do we help them navigate that? Pick what's right for them. Knowing that what's right for you may not be right for your peer, may not be right for the person that graduates before you or after you. It's right for you, and that's okay. So getting that message out and trying to help our young folks deal with that. It's almost bigger than high school. It's what is the challenge that our youth face today. And I think that's what we're struggling with as a board in terms of making a recommendation. And so it's my recommendation is to find more programs and see if are there things we can implement as early as ninth grade, as late as 12th grade, but are there things we can do systematically or programmatically to help our staff address stress with our young people?
Yeah, just as an added, because Trustee Marshall had mentioned Dr. Wilson's report, and if you recall, one of the things in there was, and in part that's the purpose of establishing a director of guidance K through 12, is the development of a more formalized curriculum dealing with social emotional skills competencies, and so that it becomes just like any other program, a continuum of activities to focus on some of these things, which would culminate as you go into the high school to better management, you know, decision making, and all the stresses that come with the college selection process. But that is something that is in the works. It's already has started in terms of the process of committee. But as you know, curriculum doesn't just appear overnight. We just don't take somebody else's curriculum and put our name on it. So a committee is actively involved in that process, and it'll take a while, but you will see a plan to try to more formalize the things that you're speaking about.
Yeah. Trustee Mark.
Just want to say I sort of appreciate where the conversation has gone, that it's gone beyond whether we're going to tell the stats or whether we're going to have the decile, that there's a broader holistic approach that we want to do. Just from the very basic standpoint of what we want to do in terms of the ranking, getting away from that broader look, I'm just thinking that we have very definitive people who don't want to know what their ranking is and don't care, and it will be more stressful to know. And there are some that thrive on having their ranking. We've got the statistics one way or the other. We can have students opt to whether they want to know it or not. You know, we'll let you know which percentile you're in. We'll let you know what decile you're in. If you don't want to know, if you want to know your ranking, we'll tell you your ranking.
So what would that create, Nicole?
Well, look, the difficulty you're going to have with such a proposal is many of your students are applying to the same colleges.
Right.
So the idea that we're sending a transcript with a Nyack High School student that has a ranking, another one that doesn't have a ranking, one that has a decile.
Yeah. So, but they're going to all have rankings anyway. It's what we're talking
but
about
from
is
from the college's perspective. I think we'll look a little foolish to a college if we have, you know, no consistency in terms of how we're sending our students out for admission. So my point being, if you really examine it, you know, your 200 some odd graduates, I would suggest to you that a good percentage are applying at some point. They might attend a SUNY, just as one example. And the idea that, you know, 15 of our students, you know, the college admissions office is looking at them, and you're getting these different submissions of how we're looking at kids. My concern is one thing we don't want to do is put the kids in a disadvantage.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And my thinking would be that that might be kind of a disadvantage for kids.
Trustee Bosha.
So with everything that's been said, Nicole, and just some comments about your comments. And initially, it almost you had illustrated almost a subjective response from some of the results that students got from colleges. Those who thought would get into really competitive schools did not, and they were, you know, students that were high achievers. And okay, one. and then some who, you know, you wouldn't think get in those schools. So with each class, it can almost be subjective, depending on what college you're looking at from any given year. I know that was a case with my daughter's class. It was highly competitive that year, and nobody really got into the colleges they wanted. In the next year, everybody were getting into Ivies and the higher competitive college. That's one thing. The other thing is, I really cannot stress enough of going along with what our student representative has illustrated in her comments, and I think those were very, very balanced in what you represented. I think you were kind of giving us a hybrid, and I think you indicated that the stress is there. So to Terrence, trustee, what's your last name, Terrence?
To T-Rock's point,
and to other points already made, the district will address the stress piece. This article, and mm-hmm. I'll share it with Lorraine, "The Kids Are Not All Right" is the title of the article. Mm-hmm. And it says something about the generation that's coming up. If there's quoting, I'm just going to go to it really quick. Just one little comment. If you wanted to create an environment to churn out really angsty people, we've done it. So with that being said, I think the board is obligated to look at the, I'm going to say this word wrong again, decile?
Decile. Said it right then.
Decile. And look at that, as well as to T-Rock's point and to Dr. Montesano's point and every other point that's made, really look at guidance and get something done in terms around the stress that college, the entire college application process is producing in our young people. And that's the last thing I'm going to say.
I have a quick question. In the presentation in December, we said Clarkstown School District will no longer use the decile system to rank their students beginning 2018. The current decile ranking system will be phased out. What are they going to do now?
I don't think they're ranking. Think
they're not ranking
at
all.
They went from exact ranking to decile ranking, and now they're doing away with public ranking.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so.
And just one other thing, for the anxiety piece and the stress piece, we do have our school psychologist as well as our social worker presenting at the school board meeting, and the school board meeting, that would be here, at our PTSA meeting in February. I think it's February 6th. So if you want to mark your calendar for that, that's the beginning of some conversation. And then we'll see where we go from there.
Is that during the day?
It's for the PTSA.
Oh, the PTSA.
For the parents in the evening. Okay. Just really to help parents work with their students with handling stress. But I have to tell you, my own personal experience, I have a nephew that's graduating from Notre Dame this May. And he does, and Karen, you know, I've spoken about my nephew to you. He does extremely well, and he's studying computer science, and he's going for PhD. And he has done extremely well all along. He is so stressed out about where he's going to go, and he has people recruiting him. And the whole conversation this last couple of weeks were, you know, where should he go? What's the best place? And he's stressed out about it, and people are coming to him. You know, Columbia came to him for an interview. You know, and he is so stressed out about it. I just think that I just think life in general is just full of stress. So we really need to help our students cope better and give them lifelong skills on how to really cope with everyday occurrences, at school, at the workplace, and even in family life.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
So, just any other comments around? Indigo?
Just one more thing, sorry.
Sure.
I think you made a really good point, which is that this isn't something that's limited to high school, it's not limited to college, but it goes on throughout life. And I think it's a lack of education on emotional intelligence, which is the term that's used, and learning how to deal, recognizing your emotions and, you know, learning how to deal with them. I think that's something that my generation specifically is really struggling with. And, you know, you can blame it on many different factors in our society, whether it be social media or, the advancement of testing and those things. Nonetheless, I think that just like we have a health class and we learn about our physical health, we should also be learning about our mental health, and that should be instituted throughout our entire education system, just like math and English and all those other classes. I think it is an interesting point of not seeing your, having the option not to see your ranking. And the question is you know, when you admit, when students are going through the admissions process and you are sending in your application, you can have a ranking, like everyone's going to have, you know, the database of all our GPAs in there. So there is a ranking no matter what. So if that's sent in and we just aren't really telling the students, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like trying, you're not trying to keep it a secret, but it's like you're not really, it's not accessible information when you're saying, oh, by the way, this is where you lie, and you're giving that information out from a very early point. I mean, I'm pretty sure that students know by eighth grade, correct?
Yeah,
don't they
have? We really couldn't withhold that information from, you know, any parent that requested us to, you know, share that with
you.
So, you know, while it's a great suggestion, it may not necessarily, you know, we may not have to, we may be able to work with parents not to encourage that their kids have to be looking at it, but it's, you know, they have a right to their, you know, that information as a, you know, as a parent.
But if we were doing decile, would they have their ranking as well?
Not necessarily, because at that point, we're not really keeping ranking per se. Well, you know, we'll have ranking for valedictorians and salutatorians, but the answer to that is no. What we provide is a decile.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that throughout, you know, whether it be the end of middle school through high school, you're not really advertising their exact ranking. But if it's an issue, you don't obviously want to hinder their ability to get into college, and so that can be sent in, I guess. I mean, unless basically you have to either have it or not, and you, if you aren't, if students are only having the decile, then they're not sending any official rank to the college. Is that not allowed?
I'm not sure I follow you.
I think you're saying if we go to decile, is that what gets sent?
Yes.
We would not send a rank,
we would not
even
send
if
a rank.
We maintain.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay.
Correct.
But didn't we have the discussion that there were scholarships that require a ranking, and we would have that information?
Yes. We would provide that information to the scholarship committee or whoever
that requires
is providing
that.
It.
Right.
So we're going to have the statistic of ranking.
The point
anyway.
Being is that my point about. Because I thought Indigo was suggesting that we would have a known ranking of all of our students, and we would keep it kind of secretive and not share with the parents. If we held a record of all of those specific rankings, then we would be obligated to share that information with the parents.
Sure.
If we're keeping deciles, that's the data that we have.
Right.
And if a child is, you know, needs this information specifically for a, and by the way, my thought would be they probably would not, if a committee has a decile, they probably would not require it. If you eliminated it,
right.
You know, ranking completely, we have to provide, probably, you know, chances are some kind of data. But what, you know, yes, we could probably provide that and calculate it for a specific student. But it's not a record of all students' specific ranking. The only thing we're keeping basically in our computer base is the deciles. And that's the data that we would be obligated to share with the parent.
Okay. So, any other comments?
Now we got that solved.
Got that solved. World peace. Do we want to make a recommendation? Let's go middle of the road. Let's assume, because it sounds like eliminating ranking of any sort is not advantageous. That would say, would everybody agree that that's, who wouldn't want to head down that route?
I'll give you a head nod.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally eliminating ranking. We don't want to go there.
I don't know. I didn't know if we were at a point where we were really making the recommendation yet as to
what we're doing.
Being so specific. I don't know.
All right, so hold on. All right, so let's back up, right? With whom does the decision lie?
The Board of Education,
right?
That's my boy. Yeah. It's us.
And, you know, typically, in the absence of a specific recommendation, you have a recommendation from your student representative,
you
but as a committee itself, you really do not have a recommendation coming forward.
All right, okay.
What you have is really, you know, three specific options. And, you know, no ranking, staying status quo, or going to decile.
To decile.
And, you know, I don't know, maybe we don't have enough information available yet about what, you know, lack of ranking, you know, really means. But, by the way, this has been a really, really good conversation that the board has engaged themselves in. And I think you really center around the larger issue of this overall, what we can do to help kids, because that's, you know, in terms of the stress and things of that sort. But those are three available options. And again, the fourth option I would say is that, look, we're just not ready to make a decision. We don't see this as that impactful. That's really going to change anything overnight. And you may, you know, just to, I think somebody had raised the issue of let's put these programs in place, you know, some activities to deal with stress and come back and revisit this at another time. Right. So I would just pose that as another option for the board to consider if you want to try to get some closure tonight.
Yeah, I'm just going to get to that. I was going in the other order. But thank you for putting it. Maybe that's what we start with.
Well, I was going to say that in that case, if you were going to me, then I would say that, yes, looking at a decile ranking system.
Okay. But should we take baby steps to start with then? Should we start with the programs? Don't change anything. Start with the programs.
Well, you had
helping
said,
to manage stress.
You had said earlier that the folks that are already in the pipeline wouldn't be affected by moving to a decile, even if you did it tomorrow.
No, but
the suggestion for the committee
was to really not start,
okay. I think you said seventh graders.
2022,
right.
Which is the seventh graders.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so those already in the pipeline are not going to be affected if you...
Right, gradually phase in any change of ranking system starting with the class of 2022.
Right.
Communicate with the members of the community to explain the change in the ranking system, how it affects them.
No, but if you're going to... You have to decide this calendar year whether or not you're going to change that for the class
seven,
of 2022.
No, but you can change
it.
You don't
graders.
Have to do it for 2022. You could decide next year to do it for next 20, year's seventh
yeah,
graders.
For 2022.
Right.
You're not bound to 2022.
No.
This is the earliest you could do it. It's 2022.
Correct. And in order to affect the class of 2022, you have to do it this year.
I feel like
no, but that's not the
yeah.
driver. The driver yeah, is you wouldn't do it before the class of 2022. It's not that if you want to do it for 2022, you've got to make a decision now, right?
No, what I'm saying is if you don't make a decision about this and you table it...
That seventh grade becomes part of the pipeline.
Pipeline, right. And so
right.
then you go, the class of 2023 is when you start, right?
Right?
Or whenever we make the decision.
I would
right.
say waiting until the class of 2022 is already waiting a really long time, considering... Like the research that the committee did showed that so many school districts mm-hmm. in the area already have switched to something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do understand the suggestion of looking at 2022. I'm not even sure if that's, to tell you the truth, the best direction to go in, because even if you've got somebody who's already made certain decisions about classes and you're talking about switching to a decile system, I'm not convinced that those decisions are really going to be affected all that much. We're still going to have a form of ranking if we're switching the to the decile
But hold on
system.
Just a minute.
Yeah.
I thought there were just logistical reasons why you don't change in the middle of...
It's
like
really
you can't
more
do,
of
could
a
you
fairness
me?
Issue.
It's a fairness issue.
You know,
right.
you have just, you know, again, I'll point to Indigo's mm-hmm. class. As sophomores, they were actively
right.
at, you know, looking, and I can tell you, mm-hmm. I'm sure there are sophomores right now that know specifically what they're ranked in. And as Indigo indicated, many of those students are motivated to, you know, bolster their ranking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the board can do whatever it wishes. I would just suggest to you, and I think this is the committee's consideration, is one of equity and fairness. Because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. That's you're changing the rules of the game, if you
yeah,
will. And
you're already started
yeah.
down the
so
road. Right.
By starting, I think the thinking is by starting with the seventh graders, you really are starting them with a very clean slate.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think all of us recognize mm-hmm. that there's no panacea to this, you know. The decile may help somewhat minimize. I think that's what you're looking to do, but whether that's going to really be the, you know, to me the impactful thing is bolstering the profile and trying to deal with some of the stress management kind of focus.
Gosh. Mr. Okay. Johnson and I both have seventh graders. We're making a big difference. We're talking about something really big.
Well,
no, but to Leon's point, though, you know, mm-hmm. Nicholas is doing this together. You know, we're looking at ninth grade electives, right? Immediately,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to be doing he's doing Algebra Regents this year, and I think, Living Environment, Living, right?
Yep.
These are Regents courses
yep.
that feed into the
yeah.
GPA and ultimately his class rank, right? So it started, right?
It started.
So,
I mean... yeah.
So look, guys, let's circle the wagons here. So, is there anybody in favor of making no change whatsoever? Do nothing.
I'm not in favor.
Not even the classes. Not even the programs?
Oh, no, 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 sorry.
All right, let's start with the bare bones. So there's no change at all, right, to Rancor at this point in time. And we asked the committee admin, the school, to start to look into the programs. Would everybody believe that at a minimum? Is anybody believing that we should not do that?
No.
When you I say think we should do that, programs. But I think it's that's a different and very important issue.
I'm not saying it's not an important issue. What I'm saying is, the develop workshops for parents which focus on addressing how to cope with anxiety and stress. Revise NAIC High School profile, which provides colleges and universities with a deeper understanding of NAIC High School graduate. Examine the current weighting system based on the academic rigor of a course. So these are things that don't change anything we're doing, but start to bring some focus to the issue at hand, right? So no change in rank or moving to decile as an option, right? So to me, that's the baseline. Look, the baseline is do nothing. I don't think there's anybody here who thinks we should do nothing based on the discussion we've just had.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the do something is develop workshops for parents which focus on addressing how to cope with anxiety and stress, whatever
and
they
I
may
think
be.
That should include students.
And students.
To the extent
yep,
possible.
Right. Yep.
So you said parents in your presentation,
no.
But I think, right?
It says just parents.
Yeah, no, I know, but I think they will go through and work and develop this a lot broader than what's written in the sentence. I'm just trying to get the theme here, right? So does the board, does anybody on the board disagree with that?
No.
James, you seem...
No, I don't disagree with workshops for parents. Whenever I hear that word workshop, I always think, well, you're going to get a certain amount of the parents that can get to the workshop. So the thing that immediately affects your population is what you do broadly. But no, of course not. I think that would be a good thing. But who do you capture in terms of workshops? That's all.
Sorry,
I'm saying.
Okay. So hold on.
Don't
logistically, they figure out how they do it, right? I'm just reading what it. I'm not doing this well, so pardon me. What I'm trying to say is conceptually, we want to develop these programs to help the kids handle stress.
Yes.
How they do it is not our problem, quite frankly. It's an operational issue. They'll figure it out. Agreed?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But.
Hold on, the mic, lady. Yeah, you need the mic, Nicole.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, well, we're focusing our conversation on the students that are at the top of the class and stressed with the college application process, but there are students that probably are number 200 and 220, and these are the students that go home to empty cabinets.
Right.
And
I
mean,
I simply want to interject to remind the board that we are actively working on a K-12 curriculum on social emotional development that will incorporate a that piece of this.
So that piece of that recommendation is already being done. Even
good.
Outside of that, it's already been done.
Okay. So stepping Michael. Up to the next level. Yeah? Michael?
Yeah. Well, all I was going to say was...
What he said.
Was
you said.
That. Instead of, it shouldn't... I'd prefer it not to be developed workshops for parents. I'd like it to talk about the students and what we're doing for the students. You know, because a workshop for parents, four people will show up. Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
So oh, of course, they're supposed to figure it out, but there's a difference between addressing the parents and telling them how to
Michael,
do it.
Michael, yes. And I'm sorry I read from last month's presentation.
I'm looking at
the I was
same
just
thing.
Trying to get the point across that we want to develop the programs.
And you're
it's
doing a terrific job.
It's not my call whether it's workshops or not. I'm sorry for misstating it. In your hands.
Else
yes,
Trustee
Irvin. Yes, please. Because I want to get ticked to the next level.
I need a retreat.
Well, my proposal is based on this implementation plan that was itemized in the presentation, that perhaps it's possible, and this is my suggestion, that we spend the time working on the points involving the development of the curriculum, focusing on the anxiety, trying to come up with a plan to deal with that. Definitely revising the NAIC High School profile so that it highlights what our students are doing, perhaps examining this weighting system, and putting those processes in place, and then revisiting whether or not we need to change the class rank situation after we've spent some time doing those things.
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing. I'm trying to take it from the minimum up, right? So. Fine.
I
so
think everybody agrees that, right, you're going to put your K-12 social curriculum in place. We're all
our,
in support
our,
of that.
Our.
Right? That's
yours.
I'm sorry.
I think it's fair to say everyone probably agrees with updating the NAIC High School profile, yes?
Yes.
Yes. So, yes.
And what is involved exactly in examining the current weighting system? Is that a big, huge process?
That's a big one. In fact, I think Clarkstown is currently doing over in their for their high schools as well. That is the weight that you place on a AP course, honors course, which sensitizes the value of taking one of those courses.
Well, it's my understanding that we have something like that already in place because some of our like our valedictorians graduating with a 4-point
you
something.
You certainly do have weight.
But that's
the
whole point.
It's just examining it.
It's their examining.
The point is the committee, when they explore this, I think one of the things they find is that we put a very heavy weight on our APs.
Yes.
And I think they wanted, the consideration was maybe it's time for us to take a look at that, take a look around at other districts, things of that sort. And is that something that puts too much value on the AP to have kids load up on the APs? And again, not to belabor this, but again, that's not going to eliminate kids wanting to take APs that want to go to the Dukes of the world.
Right.
But you do have weighted courses now. I think the idea is, and by the way, it's always a good practice in any organization to revisit existing practices, even if the end result, even tonight, the end result is we're not going to change the traditional ranking. That exercise alone has a value for organizational growth. I think the suggestion is to take that they want to extend this into the GPA values of the weighted courses.
And is that feasible? I mean, is that something we could do?
It'll take some time, but sure, it's feasible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, as I was saying, we're going to take baby steps. That's the first thing, right? So we're not, does everybody agree that at this point in time, we probably don't touch or change the ranking?
I don't agree.
That's fine, I'm just putting it out there. I don't agree either.
Yeah, I don't agree.
So does anybody think at this point in time, we should ask them to look to change to
decile?
Percent decile?
Yes.
Pass.
I just want to make a couple comments along with what I was saying about why I'm saying yes.
Point of order.
I would like to add some comments along with my, all I said was yes. And what I'd like to say is the reason I'm saying yes is that, in my opinion, we're already looking at a very long process here. If we're looking at our seventh grade class,
right.
A lot of school districts, the majority of them have already looked at other systems, and I think my opinion is it's kind of dragging our feet a lot if we were going to sort of take any more time, especially after a great presentation and the wonderful feedback that Indigo just gave us.
Gotcha.
So I wanted to say that while I put my yes out there.
Okay. Marshall, yes.
Yes, for the same reasons that she said, and if I may extend that comment, this is typical of some of the group decision making that surrounds this board. So without going on and on and on about that, it took us 3 years I think to get to block scheduling.
Yeah.
So you gotta really take the data, analyze it, and listen to what your superintendent has said, what your student rep has said, what your building leader has said, and make a decision. That's what I want to say.
And so what you're saying is that's what you've taken into account, and you said yes.
We should go to
decile.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Michael, you're saying
that's decile is fine with me.
Okay. Do you want to qualify it, or you're just okay? Decile is okay.
I think the discussion has shown that whether we do decile or ranking isn't really the issue that we're talking about. I think there's some people who thrive on ranking, some people who thrive on decile. That's not the problem that we're talking about. We've gotten around to the point that what we're talking about is the stress of students. So if you think decile will be better, I'm not sure that it'll be better, but it doesn't sound like it'll be worse. So I'm okay with changing it.
I'd say no change. Again, Michael pointed out the fact that the true issue seems to be the stress. We've commissioned a committee who, despite the feedback that Indigo has given, couldn't come to a definitive recommendation about changing from one to the other or eliminating completely. So if the committee can't make a formal recommendation to change, then I don't see a reason to.
Okay, fair enough. T-Rock.
I'm a no.
Oh, okay. Leanne?
I agree exactly with what Damon said. That's my opinion as well. Okay. So I don't think we should change the rank.
Yeah.
So we've got 3-3, so I need to break this.
Okay. There you go.
Trustee Moffitt.
In contrast to Damon, what you're saying, the committee as a whole could not come up with a definitive recommendation. People on that committee that are in this room did. And I'm pointing to you, and I'm pointing to you. You weren't on the committee. You were not on the committee, but I'm pointing to you because you have several times said what Paramus did, and that is no panacea in even making going in that direction. So that's all I wanted to say with respect to that.
Okay.
And Nicole, you also did.
So,
I don't have a decision either way.
Anyway,
I kind of agree with Terrence and Damon and see how he plays out at first.
You trying to
how what? But when you say how it plays out, what do you mean when you say how it?
That's exactly what I was going to come to actually.
Oh, okay.
We have a very skilled and knowledgeable director of guidance, mm-hmm. who I think has some real good vision for the program, mm-hmm. K-12, and we've never really had a director of guidance, not in the time that I've been here, K-12. We've had 6-12. We haven't had a K-12. She's doing some great work. She's been at the elementary schools, working with the elementary school principals. She's also been working very, very closely with David and the guidance staff at the middle school. And she's working every single day with the guidance counselor at the high school. She's having some real difficult conversations. She returns back to that and references that review quite often. I have attended some of her meetings. I look at her emails, every email that she's sending, because I'm copied on all of them. I hear some of the gripes of the guidance counselors based on what they're being asked to do. And I have great confidence in her and her ability and her knowledge and her ability to lead the department. It's a very, very skilled department. And I think they really need somebody who knows the job. She came in, she hit the ground running. There's not a conversation I've had with her yet where I feel like she doesn't know what she's talking about or what direction she wants to go and what her vision is. And I think that with different types of programs and different types of conversations, we can ease the stress and the anxiety of our students. And also the students' parents, as well as some of our teachers, this AP exam and this Regents exam. And, I think that overall, really good teaching and students that are conscientious, that work very, very hard, that are supported at home, I think they do really well. And students approach it all different ways. We have a student on the committee as well that's a junior that's taking 4 or 5 APs indigo. What do you say, 4 APs? And does really, really well. And he said, I really don't know what my rank is, and honestly, I really don't care. But I want to go to a real competitive school, and I know they're going to look at my transcript, and I need to show that I could work at this level and be very, very successful and do well, and that's kind of his attitude about it. So, it's really it's on an individual basis, and what I started saying before is that we have students that are experiencing stress that are scoring, 103, and we have students that are experiencing stress that may just be passing a Regents exam with a 65, and the stress comes from all different areas and for all different reasons. We hope that we're aware of it all and we can really work with students as individuals, but I think it is a bigger picture, and Dr. Montesano had said it earlier that this conversation and whoever the committee goes, and I really don't stand strong on either side. I really don't. I just want to make sure we're preparing kids the best that we possibly can to do well when they go to the college level, whatever that level is, whatever meets their needs and where they could really be successful the best that we possibly can. So that's kind of where I stand, really in the middle of nowhere.
So Nicole, can I ask you a question? In terms of getting prepped for the class of 2022, is that something, so could we, for instance, have these other everybody believes we should have these programs in place. Is this something that we could come back and address if there's anything else for you to, how long does it take?
In 2022, I may be sitting on a beach somewhere, but you can come back and
revisit. There's no prep work, right? So if we don't make a decision on the change to decile tonight, we could make this decision in May, right? If there's more information we need, right?
I think if the committee came back and said, we need another month to further investigate this, and in a month's time they came back and said,
the formal recommendation is to move to decile, I think every one of us on the board would say okay, we should move to decile.
Yeah, but hold on a minute, right?
The committee's done, right?
It's incumbent upon us as a board to form an opinion based on what you have, right?
Correct.
All I'm saying is, if there is more information you feel you need, or if we think we're set, right, then that's it, right?
If you want to put this on hold into the next meeting, I was prepared to talk about something else this evening, but Indigo did administer that survey with the help of Tommy DeLeo and Russ Stevens to students, so we can look at those results and possibly provide them at another date. That may
like
help you a little
that.
Bit as well.
Would that help?
Absolutely.
Get help? Some more information to
more information.
That's what I'm trying to get to. If there's more you can give us.
That would be great.
You could have said that before we started this discussion.
Okay, so that's where we leave it, yeah? Is that everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Coming back, it doesn't have to be next meeting. Whenever you feel that you have meaningful information to get to us. And I would encourage everybody on the board to avail themselves of whatever information is out there so that we can make informed decisions ourselves. Because, as we said, the decision lies with us.
Right.
Okay? So let's get ourselves up
and in addition,
okay,
go ahead, Leanne, you go first, and then I'll go.
So there was a Let's Talk survey that went out. Is there any, is that done also?
Yes, I provided the board with all of the commentary from that survey.
Is there any
you did
need for more community opinion?
I can share with you that this did not have that same hot button topic as like the breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't.
Right.
So I don't think so. We had that out there for a while. At least we had a lot of communication, emailed efforts to get people to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of feedback and additional information, could you come back with how Clarkstown got to where they got to? Are you able to do that?
I'm sure we can.
I'd be very interested in finding that out. And I've heard so much talk about those students at this end of the spectrum and very little about the students at this end of the spectrum and what's happening there. So maybe Lorraine could come back with some of that information as well.
Dave, I'm sorry to put Dave on the spot, but he was at North Rockland. North Rockland made the change, correct?
Absolutely. And at that time, they chose to have a kind of secret ranking. And there was some pushback from the community. There was a bit of honor in having their child in that top 10%. So there is going to be some sort of reaction from the community that was in North Rockland. Overall, though, I think there was a lower level of stress for students in general. So that did result in that. But there was some pushback from parents. Saying,
you'll always get that.
Right.
Always.
But there was, again, ranking kept off the record.
Doug, did I hear you say that there was a noticeable reduction in stress?
There was.
Moving from
students
ranking
did not
to DESA.
And you were in that building at the time.
I was in
the
building.
You were there. You saw it.
That's a good point.
That's pretty compelling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so I think we're done on the topic, yeah? For now, we'll put it back on the agenda. You guys can come back and spend another hour and a half and talk to us about this once we have some more stats.
He says we're not
going to. No, it won't be. It won't be. All right. Thank you so much, and appreciate your patience.
As Dave and Nicole are getting ready, the next topic on the workshop is a presentation that they're going to provide. And just to give a quick background and some some context, this is something that we've been looking to study in terms of looking at alternatives to suspension. Many of you that have been on the board since I've been here know that we've had these kind of conversations in the past. Dave and Nicole put a committee together. They've done a wonderful job of surveying the empirical data that's available, looking at best practices of other school districts. And I do think the board is going to will be very impressed with their presentation this evening. I would invite the board. You're going to probably be blocked at a big thing that's the circuit board there, so you may want to shift over to the audience to be able to the general audience to be able to see. And Kevin, just get maybe at least the front lights off.
Yeah, you may have it as well.
Yeah, you can follow from there.
Those of us who actually brought it last time.
So we comprise a committee of the middle school administrative team and the high school administrative team. We invited Lorraine Longing as well, and also Donzella Milligan as the student's assistance counselor. So at the middle school, we had Lucretia Addison Harris, Phil Kennedy, Dave Johnson, of course, myself, George Teasdale, Lucia Pichardo, Victor Olmedo, and Dominic DiMatteo, our deans also. And what we did was Dave and I compiled some data regarding our suspensions, our in-school suspensions, probably over the past 3 years or so. And what the committee really noticed was there are patterns in the suspensions where the type of suspensions or the reason, the infractions really have changed, where students are being suspended either an in-school suspension or a one-day out-of-school suspension for things like insubordination, being disruptive in class, not listening to, or repeated, not being repetitive, not being compliant. So we really looked at it, and we did some research in the county, and there really aren't any programs in any of the schools in the county, with the exception for Riverview, where you see an alternative to suspension type of program. So we really started from, I'd say really from point A. We did send Victor Almedo and George Tease down to Riverview to see what their program is like, but they're not running a traditional high school, so it's a little bit different, but they do have a great program, and we did take some of their ideas, and they were happy to share with us. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Dave.
And good evening after a lengthy debate on ranking. Currently, there are two choices as a principal when it comes to student discipline. It can be AIP, which is alternative instructional placement, in-school suspension, or out-of-school suspension. Some offenses, as Nicole alluded to, require a third option, and that this program develops that third option. School, any school, should be a learning situation. Whether it's discipline or not, a student should learn from their actions. I think our program, our alternative suspension program, allows students to learn from their violation of the code of conduct. I have a saying when students get in trouble, there are no bad students, there are bad choices, correct? And our job, I feel, is to make sure they understand those choices, reflect on those choices, and make better choices in the future. Also, a time for conversation, for counselors, myself, deans of students, to talk to these students to say, hey, what can we do to help you make better decisions going forward? And finally, having their peers involved in the process, building that sense of community within the school, even when it comes to infractions of our code of conduct. Our students are not disposable. They're not isolated. They should be brought within the community, even again when they violate our code of conduct. We did a bit of research. Nicole also stated that there are no alternative to suspension programs in the county. Other states have programs that require us to look at alternatives to suspensions before making any action. In Florida, again, in California, first and foremost, that you must have an alternative to suspension policy first to correct behavior. Florida, again, discourages students from being suspended for minor offenses. And Connecticut requires automatic in-school suspension before students are suspended out of school. We did a bit of literature review, and there are eight features of any successful alternative to suspension programs. One is a PBIS, or Positive Behavior Intervention and Support Program. Both the high school and the middle school has, I do believe, robust PBIS programs using the term PRIDE. It means different things on the high school and middle school level, but we do have that in place. Professional development for teachers and staff, I think that's so important. When a teacher makes or a staff member makes a decision on whether a child should be disciplined, I think there needs to be more training, particularly sensitivity to different cultural norms, background of students, things of that nature that may affect their decision-making process. Restorative justice, giving that student a chance to rejoin our community, to make up for their infraction, to understand that, again, it's a mistake, but it's not a permanent status. And I think that healing process needs to happen, and that this program allows for that healing and learning process. And, of course, community involvement. Ms. Saib is now going to detail the specifics of our plan, but I think it really will change how we look at suspensions going forward. And I think it is very revolutionary in that sense. Okay?
Thank you, Dave. And I just want to thank Indigo as well. I almost forgot that I did have it in my notes. Indigo helped me with my slides. She's a Google Doc expert. And when I said to her, I said, Indigo, what do you think about this? And she said, Ms. Saver, I think it looks great, but you need to have your lines kind of gradually fading. So that's Indigo's artistic touch on my slides. I quickly hopped away from my computer, and Indigo stepped in. And these beautiful slides really were with the help of Indigo. So thank you very much, Indigo. I'm going to miss Indigo so much, I think we may keep her another year. So what we really looked at, we looked at the type of suspensions, and we figured there were really three categories of or any type of infraction, about the three types of infractions and what type of consequences we assign. So we broke our infractions in three different levels. You have level one, level two, level three. Level one really would be where a student would spend the day in in-school suspension. And they spend the day really outside my office and George's and Lucy's office and in Dave's. They spend the day also in the main office as well, in that back room as well. And naturally, they receive their coursework, and teachers frequently stop by to help them with different things and direct them. But we want to add different pieces to that. We want to have a reflection piece, and I think you got a copy of that as well. We had sent that. We have a high school piece. We have a middle school piece that we actually helped. That Riverview helped us with that. We adjusted it just based on the needs of the building and the age of the students as well. So they're slightly different but very similar. Also a counseling component where the guidance counselor for that student would come over and speak to the student a little bit. And it's kind of happening now. Like, we started to phase this in because it's just practice anyhow. And then hopefully with some training on restorative justice, we'll be able to have some trained peers come down and work with the students as well, and then bring them back for these talking circles, which is really, it's an environment where students get to talk openly and freely, and Donzella will help us tremendously with that as well. She has experience, she's trained in restorative justice. She actually recommended the person we hope to bring in for training as well. And naturally, there's always some type of a communication with parents. As soon as the infraction is brought to our attention and we speak to the student, we always inform students and parents. We also inform them in writing. But we want to have a very, very productive conversation with the parents as well. So that's really level one. Then we went into level two, where things will change a little bit more drastically. Level two are students that, this would be like a suspension intervention program. Level two would be a student that really, there's an infraction that really has earned, I would say now, one day of OSS or 2 days of OSS. Instead of sending the students out of school and only inviting them back to Project Connect for 2 hours for their instructional program here, what we'd like to do is have them come and spend the entire day at Project Connect. And we work different pieces into this. Natural reflection piece. We want to have a component where the council would come to Project Connect, meet with the student, talk about goals. How can things be done differently? Where would you like? And the conversations I have with kids are so basic. Where would you like to be in 2 years? Where do you see yourself in 4 years or 5 years? Well, the steps you're taking aren't exactly going to get you there. And just basic things like that, which really help kids kind of see, you know, let me try to turn this around now. So those are those types of conversations as well. And then a conference with the staff members, so it would all either be one of the assistant principals, the deans, myself. We also have somebody on staff at the high school we're looking at to help to come down and work with the students as well. And then with peers, with the restorative justice, when they return back to the middle school, naturally, again, we have parent communication, which we're doing now, on the telephone as well as in person as well as in writing. And then a follow-up meeting again at the end with some type of talking circles involving a bunch of students and hopefully with Donzella as well.
Nicole,
after
did you
all
skip
trained.
Over that interactive activity, or are you
I
right
did
now?
Skip over that. Okay. So thank you very much. we're actually still in search of an interactive software program where students can actually go through a module that is very specific to the actual infraction. We haven't found one yet. Lucretia and Lucy, as a committee, we all kind of took our own charge and went our own way and reported back. But Lucretia and Lucy were working to really find an interactive program. They were unable to do so. I looked as well, and I couldn't find an interactive program as well. But we do have a company that, I'm trying to think of the name, but I forget the name of the company, but I have it here, that actually, Advantage Press, actually has they publish materials for this purpose. That really, they have modules based on different types of infractions and different types of actions. So we'll probably start using that until we're able to find an interactive program that deals with some of the infractions. So I did skip over that, so thank you very much. And then also a contract. We worked in a contract piece, and the middle school and the high school, again, they're very, very similar, slightly different, but also where students will have to sign a contract, we share it with the parent as well, and as we move forward. So that's that would be the SIP program, and that's a pretty drastic change to what we're doing now. And then level three is very similar, all those same components, just that level three suspension is something where a student, the infraction really is just, it needs to be suspendable, where a student will be suspended for an extra 3 days or more. And your printout may say 2 days or more, but that was my error. But I caught it later on, so I'm sorry if that's what you're looking at, but it's 3 days or more. And the student would serve an out-of-school suspension, but the last day of that out-of-school suspension would be spent here at Project Connect. And they would look at, you know, they would really face the same and work out the same type of program that level two did, where there would be a contract, they would meet with a member of our staff, the guidance counselor would work with them, also goal setting also, as well. They would do that module, either interactive or the materials that we have right now. They would be involved again for in a restorative justice type of program. They'd be inviting back for talking circles once they return. And they naturally, the 2 hours of instructional time, which our Project Connect tutors are, they're delivering it right now at this point. So that's kind of what the program looks like.
Can I ask
you a question? Sure, you can.
No.
So my question was really quick. So in this particular, will a student progress through levels one and level two, or would you have instances of which a student will skip over those first two levels and be introduced to level three?
That all depends really on the infraction. It's kind of how it works now, too. There are students that really, where discipline is very progressive and it's the same type of behavior over and over again, that's a, you know, that not that, you know, tremendous of a behavior, but sometimes there's a situation where it's a kid that just does something that's totally out of the blue that really is just a serious infraction that it has to be an out-of-school suspension. It really depends. It's a case-by-case type of situation. We try to be, I think, I'm sorry, Dave, I'm speaking for you, but we try to be, you know, as liberal as we possibly can in most situations, but there are some certain situations where, you know, you just, there's no choice. You're welcome.
I just had a couple of questions that kind of went along with this. So, like, can you just give some examples, like, I think, of what an infraction is that would say, go to a level two or go to a level three? I think sometimes when you're not in the schools, I think that we just don't even...
The board has an approved code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, it's age appropriate, mm-hmm. so there's different levels. And within those age categories, there's different levels of infractions. Mm-hmm. So like something very severe would be a student with a knife or, you know, something drastic
right,
like that.
Right.
That would be a level five infraction. And your code of conduct, well, this presentation is not looking to change your code of mm-hmm. conduct. It's really just looking to change the way in which we choreograph an out-of-school suspension in particular, as well as bolster the in-school suspensions. But if you go to that document, you'll see level five and then suggested disciplines that the administrators use to make decisions. And they really have to work within the framework of the board's right. guidelines. A level one may simply be, you know, just not cutting a class or, you know, something that's lesser, calling mm-hmm. a student a name, things of that sort. That's the context of your code of conduct policy. That is what guides their decision making with regard to the consequence they'll issue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so moving forward, what we'd like to do is identify members of the staff and students to be trained in restorative justice. More at the high school level, we'd look at restorative justice where our students are involved. At the middle school, mostly just staff, guidance counselors, deans, assistant principal, as well as principal. And then schedule and complete training sessions. We hope to get Dr. Teresa Willis. She's been identified by Donzella, and she has unbelievable references that have come back for her where she actually has trained.
I think through parent meetings, PTA meetings, informing the community at large of our plans or our third option, as I like to say, and also developing training for our staff. Again, I think that's so critical. They are aware of our expectations and what choices they need to make when coming to student discipline that helps them learn through their negative choices. But again, back to it being a learning process, discipline should be a learning continuum, not a end all be all.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the board?
Explain that last bullet.
We are currently working on an equity lens through our work with the Undoing Racism Committee. So that lens will allow me as a principal or a dean of students or an assistant principal to have some perspective before making a decision. Take into effect there is a child's background before making a decision so that we are free of bias when making that particular decision, which sometimes results in numbers being skewed a bit when it comes to ethnicity and suspensions.
Thank you. I've got a question. This is fantastic. Do I sense from that we will no longer have out-of-school suspensions? Like out of school, you're not in the school surrounds.
No.
At level three, if you looked at first, as Nicole indicated, the first, and that's a severe infraction. The first 2 days are out of school suspension. The third day would be basically moving to level two or the tier two, where they would have a full day experience in the district.
Right. So level two, you're assigned to Project Connect.
So the third day of that out of a 3 day suspension, it could be, by the way, it could be 30 days. You know, it depends on the infraction.
Level two suspension would be here at Project Connect for the entire day.
For the entire time.
Yes. Level three are students where it's a pretty serious infraction. They would be sent, if it's a 4 day suspension, they may spend 3 days at home. But by law, we have to provide them 2 hours of instructional time each day. So what the district currently does now, if a student is suspended outside of school, they come to Project Connect. If they're middle school students, they come at one time. If they're high school students, they come at another time. They meet with a tutor here. All of their work is sent and is here. And the students come here, and that's where they get their 2 hours of instructional each day. So what we would do, instead of putting them out the entire day for level two, is have them come attend the whole day here, and then they would have this whole program that would kind of play itself out throughout the day. And we hope to create a Google Doc and have people sign up what time they're going to go based on what the activities are for the day. Right. Level three, if they're suspended three or more days, the bulk of their assignment will be spent outside of school. However, as a district, we are obligated to provide the 2 hours of instruction each day. So they would come for those 2 hours. And then on the last day, they would come and they would complete all these activities that last day. And we would also talk about different types of in-school community service opportunities for them as well.
So if they've got like a 4 day suspension, excuse me, there is time that they're going to spend at home.
Yes.
Not here. Why can't we have them here? Why?
There are certain offenses that will require an out-of-school suspension.
The reason for that is, look, the concept of suspension is sending a strong message to students. A quick example is use of a narcotic, a drug, you know, carrying drugs, mm-hmm. selling drugs in your school. The message is simply that, you know, when you reach that level, not to say we aren't going to look at those restorative justice practices eventually. And I can't tell you it's going to be, like, say, a 5 day suspension. It's going to be 4 days and 1 day. It might be 3 days and 2 days. But the idea behind that is to send us, you know, it's also sending a message to your student body that there are certain unacceptable behaviors, you know, threatening or harming another student and things that rise a little bit above beyond that, where it's, you know, basically the recommendation is that that form of out of school suspension still has a positive impact on a student to demonstrate the severity. Not unlike as parents when you discipline your children. You know, certain offenses, you know, you're gonna look at really sending a strong message. But there still is that the concept of this whole plan is to really incorporate students back into the flow of the population, whether it's through community service, whether it's through the counseling component, that you're a valued member of our school, versus just the 2 hours of Project Connect they're currently getting.
Okay. So when they have this suspension now, they're at home. What do they do when they're at home? We're not monitoring them, right?
Other than
the
2 hours
they're coming. Right.
Right.
So the value of them being at home is what?
The value of it is simply, again, it's at that point, you know, there are, and again, I can't tell you that the majority of our suspensions, my sense, and I think if you look at the data they have, the issues that most of our students, by the way, our schools, again, because of these two outstanding leaders and their staff, we don't experience a high rate of suspensions, out-of-school suspension in this district currently.
No.
In fact, last year I think there were 16 students at the high school and a lesser amount in the middle school. And of those offenses, the majority of those are for relatively, I want to say, right, not so much minor, but, you know, severe insubordination, right, you know, not cooperating with the authority, you know, an administrator, things of that sort. They're suspended right now. And the majority of those suspensions are that. We have not experienced very severe, well, the board is aware of at least one where we you know, you were involved with a more severe issue that occurred at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. That was a severe event, you know, where a student was really placed in harm's way. And we did, in fact, institute a pretty long-term suspension. We had another one that was more of a cyber issue in which a threat was made to the entire population of the high school. Well, on those kinds of occasions, yeah, we think those students should be moved away from our population for a period of time, A, to send a message to that child in terms of what is expected here. And the idea, again, is to eventually incorporate them back. But there are some, as Nicole indicated, levels of offenses that are severe enough that, and again, I want to make sure I'm painting an appropriate picture for the board. Those are fairly few and far between, but we still think that out of school suspension does have a value in a overall discipline procedures.
Okay. I just want to hear you say that.
Sure.
Just to close the point, though, the only thing is, today's point, there, and this is my thinking about school suspension. Sure. There are some kids for whom this does nothing, right? And I've got to assume that most of those who are committing those serious infractions are the ones who don't really care, right? So I don't know. Maybe the data won't support it. So I just wonder, for those kids who get to that point, who have some issues and have these serious infractions, right? Do we sense that when they come back, they've learned their lesson? I guess.
Well, this is a beginning. This, by the way, is a major shift for the district. As they indicated, there's really no programs around us that are trying to delve into this. And our thinking is to look. We're gonna be data conscious in terms of, you know, implementing, rolling out, provided the board is you know, approves that this is the direction they want to go. And we may find that, you know what, we're finding that when we have kids involved more in a full day experience, there's less repetitive offenses, and we may say, you know what, we think we should be putting more of our students into that counseling component.
Okay.
But as a first step, this is kind of where we don't want to just send a quick message that, oh, you know, if you want to get out of class, you just head over to Project Connect and you're going to have a fun time meeting all different people. You know what I mean? So
gotcha.
we want to take a half step and certainly come back to the board and say, look, this is what our findings are, this is what it looks like, and, you know, maybe there will be some adjustments as we go forward.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? Trustee Marshall?
So a couple of points just to make really quickly because I don't, the night is going long. Just as you have introduced in the district the 21st century model for learning with, you know, child-centered learning, this approach, which has really been almost 3 years in the making, a 21st century model for peer-centered, child-centered discipline where you have, you know, RJ, restorative justice, which we have been talking about that for at least 2 years. So that is to be applauded. To Karen's point, and some of my thinking at least about that piece where they're at home, I don't know yet, and you probably don't know yet either, if you can quantify the value in an individual's mind, whether it's female or this male, how do you quantify when it's, even because you said it's happening now, so what value is happening? But I'm assuming you will get to that, even in those rare cases where the child has done an infraction so badly that they're going to be sent home. But I'm really happy that this is finally on the ground and that you have a model in place, and it is something that the district hasn't had you know, in quite some time. So, you know, I just want to say
kudos. Just as an added point, there are occasions, and I've had them in this district, where we're concerned about whether this child is a threat to himself or others.
Right.
And we don't want those children, even in Project Connect, in those situations.
I think about a hearing that Winsman and I had once, that we had the police standing outside the door because we wanted to show them how the hearing was going to go, and we found out.
Right. But then to another point, you provided the board with data on disproportionality, and I think that I'm hoping that this program will address the, especially with the equity lens piece, the disproportionality in kids of color being
suspended.
This is
a piece of it,
yeah.
But I would, you know, also interject, alluding to the conversation we had earlier, there's a lot more to it. And I would, you know, the work that we're trying to get done,
yes,
within the Undoing Racism,
yes,
workshop,
yes,
the March 3rd, 5th, you know,
yes,
those types of,
yes,
activities are equally.
Equally, you know. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. It's really, I'm really,
yeah,
excited about it.
I think what's wonderful to hear as well is that you do look at things case by case anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So although you've got a formula, presumably you are looking at this and saying, what's best for this child around harming themselves or,
right,
or other factors?
Or others,
so
yeah,
that's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Any other comments? Jen?
No, I'm really glad that you asked your questions the way you did, Karen, because there is something about, again, when you're not in the schools and you're not experiencing the facts, you're like, why would any child ever need to just sit home when they've got the TV? And it almost seems like a treat to not go to school. But I know, I really appreciate the answers. That was great. I guess I was just wondering if any of this goes hand in hand with, like, really taking a good look at our code of conduct, which I didn't do too much before tonight. I don't feel like I can speak so well on it. I just, you know, when I attended the NISBA convention, one of the sessions that I went to was about, I want to say it was the Syracuse School District, which is huge, very low income city, you know, had really completely revised their code of conduct and just named it something completely different than a code of conduct. I didn't bring it with me tonight to remember all the details of it. So I don't know. I mean, that's such a big job. I mean, did you, was looking at the code of conduct?
Your code of conduct, first of all, by board policy is reviewed annually, you know, in terms,
okay,
of its appropriateness. I would also, again, suggest to you that,
mm-hmm,
first of all, I would really urge you to read your code of conduct and get familiar with,
yeah,
the whole philosophy and what's in it,
mm-hmm,
because it's one of the most outstanding documents I have seen in all the years I've worked with school districts.
Yeah.
Most importantly is you have, again, I want to emphasize that you have extraordinarily well-run schools because of the strong leadership that you have with school leaders that are developing very positive, trustful relationships,
mm-hmm,
with your students. These guys should be wearing roller skates for the amount of time they spend in your hallways. They're highly visible. They know your kids. And as a result, it has a very strong impact on the discipline and the orderliness of your schools. And I will share with you, when I first entered this district, I could not make that comment with all your schools. And so I would suggest before you change or even consider just, oh, we should change this, let's look at what it is,
yeah,
and ensure that it is doing its intended purpose. And I would suggest to you that through my eyes, you have a very strong document, you have very strong leaders, and in my mind, this is only going to strengthen our approach to working with our kids in this district.
Totally.
Thank you. I was just asking. That was great feedback.
Well, I just wanted to give you a response.
And you know, I totally agree with everything you said about our wonderful administrators. I do know that. Maybe I should let in with that because, I mean,
well, my point is
when
you're attending national conferences,
yeah,
a lot of districts have very different issues.
They do. I know. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that it was, you know, like a just a thought. And that's great feedback that it is a great document and it's a wonderful presentation. Everything you guys said is. It's wonderful. It sounds great. So thank you.
And to Dr. Monos' point, Nicole, I watched you so many times in the building when we go on the University of Schools, and you have such a command. One of the things most impressive is that you know everybody's name, and I'm like always waiting for you to trip up, and you just don't. And when we did the, I'm making a point here. When we did the Undoing Racism training, that was one of the key things the trainer says that makes people feel like they're being seen is that you have a connection to the person's name. And she did that with all of us. She got our names.
Right.
I was astounded by that. And then you, Dave, with your, I didn't even know until I went to your building one time and you developed this cheer. you know, and I went to the graduation and you had, you know, you said, what is it, red? And it was like, and that, you know, so the two of you really are key to making this new model work. You know, because you could have this model but not have the right people in place. So I want to just echo Dr. Manosano's point that, you know, that is really key. So keep doing what you're doing. That's all.
And that's why it was so so important, I think, to really, we took a real team approach to this development, where we involved all of the people at the middle school and at the high school as well that are involved with working with students in situations like this. So a lot of the ideas, and we can't take credit for them all, and I would be foolish to do so, but a lot of the ideas came from members of that committee. And when we sat down as a team. Like, this is what, you know, this is what we, you know, this is what we're charged with. This is what we want to do. And we actually purposely, you know, I'm somebody, I'm anybody who knows me, I'm a type A person. I want to get the job done, and I really don't want anybody's assistance. I just want to get it done and know it's finished.
Except
only if Indigo's walking by. She's the only person I'll ask for assistance. But in a situation like this, where you have so many people that are handling, you know, you really need to have everyone's buy-in. Yeah, and we intentionally ask people, you know, all right, Lucy, are you okay with doing this? Lorraine, you can go work on this. And Victor and George, you know what? Go check out what's happening over at Riverview. And then the next meeting, it was very, very productive because everybody came back with their information. Mm. And then we were able to really create this plan. And then based on that, after every meeting, we sent the minutes. And then so we can't take credit for it all. You have to take credit for the team that surrounds you. I can go in with the best ideas in the world. Unless my team supports them and implements them, I get to, you know, it will never happen. So although I really appreciate the compliment, I really do, and I'm sure Dave does as well, but it's a team. It's a team approach, and we have the best kids in the world. We truly do. We have the best, and I think the culture of the buildings have changed so much over the years where we don't see these outrageous types of acts. And knowing kids, either if I know them or if the teachers know them, our mentoring programs have helped so much, our guidance counselors are out there. Knowing kids, you know what, it makes the world of difference because they want to make you proud and they want to stand out for positive things. And all I have to do is look at a kid and say, and they're picking their pants up, and they're taking their hat. They don't know, you know, they don't even have earbuds in, but they're pulling them out. Like they don't, but because they want to respect you because you respect them. And programs like that show this, like a program like this, yes, there'll be those level threes, and there's not an alternative. And you hope when they go home with their parents and they're suspended, you hope they're not allowed to watch TV or go on the internet or talk on the telephones. That's out of our control. But for those level two students where they'll be spending a day out of school, you hope you can keep them in a situation like this and not say, you know what, so you were screaming and yelling in the hallway, so now you have to go sit home for 2 days.
Right.
Now that'll help the level two, and that's where both that what when we looked at our pattern in suspensions, those are the students that we're really going to really have the biggest impact on, those level twos.
Excellent. Thank you.
Not to belabor the out of school component, but was any thought given to, again, a lot of people question how they spend their time. Can we impose a community service requirement, or is that
absolutely not?
Got it.
Oh, okay.
we can, you know, sometimes you can barter, you know, a little bit, so it'll be sort of a 4-day, 3-day if you do. We've actually done some of those things.
Okay.
So, and why can't we?
Something called state law.
I would never have thought either.
But yeah.
I do also want to mention the leadership within our building with among our students. We have great leaders within our student body population that take responsibility for their buildings, that care about each other, that are a credit to this community as well. So I think they deserve credit, not just us as leaders, but the leaders within the building itself. I say it often. Our students may listen to me, but they follow the leader of my eighth graders. So it really is a peer leadership that matters so much.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you so very much. Sorry.
Thank you. So,
wait,
I'll ask as fast as I can. Because when you brought up the code of conduct, that's when I did get a little confused in this thing, because I saw level one, level two, level three of approach, and I'm thinking of the five levels of offenses. So what this has to do is when an out-of-school suspension kicks in, then this is how you approach it. Is that right?
The level one would be, and there's no correlation between
the two.
It's a new category.
I'm sorry. We just,
it was probably our fault for using the same terminology. We probably should have stayed away from that. But what we did was we looked at the types of infractions, and then we kind of categorized them based on, you know, how severe they really are. And that's where we got the level one, level two, level three. But there's no direct correlation to how they're kind of in our code of conduct, how they're listed. We just list them this way. The level one would be students that have an AIP. We just kind of added to what that format looks like. Level two students, according to with this program, are students that would get an in-school suspension, an out-of-school suspension 1 to 2 days. So we'd like to really kind of move those kids into this, you know, this alternative, you know, this intervention, suspension intervention program instead.
Two just quick last points. One is what we'll need is just a, you know, a green light from the board. We'll come back to you with a timeline of when we think this can begin in terms of its implementation. Second, I don't want to say minor point, but, you know, a difference with a two-hour Project Connect to a full-day Project Connect does have a budgetary component to it. I am going to be looking at it with these folks with regard to any way we can rotate staff over there without adding cost, but more than likely it will be just taking that person or persons that we want to put over there to extend the time that, you know, that we have. So just want to make that point to you as well. But more importantly, you know, my sense is the board, you know, feels that this is a positive thing, at least to give us an opportunity to implement it and come back with some data. And if that is the case, I'd like to have them work on a timeline. Obviously, some training with restorative justice has to take place, and some other components that we have to put in place before we can begin it. But it is possible we might be able to start something before the end of the school year.
If we give like the go-ahead tonight, it's something we could put in place before the end of the school year.
Budget aside, you know, that part of it, yes.
Okay, excellent.
Do you need a motion?
No, just a general kind of...
Yes or no? Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Thumbs up?
Yes.
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 Thank you, Trustee Rock. Definitely go ahead. Nicole, Dave, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you, patience.
Thanks for staying.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Never gonna
be thank you, guys. Great job.
Are there any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the action items? All right. Do we have a motion to... Oh, before we do this, resolution to approve BOE members to attend the NISBA annual conference. Could we just confirmation of... I was planning to attend. Leanne?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
T-Rock?
I will not be attending.
Attending. I got a response from you, Jen. You're not attending?
I'm not attending.
Not attending? Not attending? Not attending. Okay. But, oh, I'm sorry. So that's... the only two board members who are attending, for the record, is Trustee Irvin and Trustee Hughes. Okay. With that, do we have a motion to accept action items 3.2 and 3.3?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. The motion was put by Trustee Marshall and seconded by Trustee Mark. Trustee Montesano, anything on the business items you wish to highlight?
No, there is not.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept business action items 4.1 through 4.5?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. The motion was put forth by Trustee Marshall and seconded by Trustee Maraschino. Do we have a motion? Personnel, Dr. Montesano.
No comments.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept personnel action items 5.1 through 5.10?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Surprise, surprise. Discussion? In favor? Opposed? Abstain? All in favor? I think that
aye.
Aye.
You must be tired.
Honestly,
opposed?
Aye.
Abstain? Motion carries. The motion was put forth by Trustee Marshall and seconded by Trustee Mark. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
We are adjourned. Well, I guess we should have a second.